Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman, member by Avram Goldar, and the Mezekhiz Yavamas, Daf Chav Hey. The second parak, Ketzad. The second parak has been generously sponsored for the Hatzlacha of Lavadji ben Leah and his family. So the three dots we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah Daf Chav Dalad Amabe stated, Hanitan le'eshes ish, v'hotzi'u amitachas yadu. If one was subject to rumors that he had relations with a married woman and basin required the husband to divorce her, afa pishakanas yotzi, even if the suspected adulterer married her, he must divorce her. The Gemara brought a machlokas where Rav held that the adulterer only divorces her when there were witnesses to the adultery, and Rebbe held he must divorce her even based on a mere rumor without witnesses. On this daf, the Gemara says the halacha is like each of them and explains that this is not a contradiction, for the distinction is whether there was a call of the pasik, a rumor that was stopped by a counter rumor that denied the first one. In a case where the rumor did not stop and there were no aiding, the halacha is like Rebbe, and he must divorce her. If the case is where the rumor was stopped and there are witnesses, he must divorce her. Abaye said that his adoptive mother taught him that a kol dol pasik, a rumor that was not stopped, is a rumor that endures for a day and a half. The Gemara says that this is provided that no counter rumor arose in the meantime, even if the counter rumor died down before the 1.5 day period. The Gemara will bring additional qualifications for the ruling. Pointing to the next Mishnah states that if one testifies regarding a man, Meis haragativ haragnu lo yisa es ishto, that he died or I killed him or we killed him, he may not marry the dead man's wife. The Gemara says that this implies that while he may not marry the wife, others may marry her. This contradicts Rav Yosef, who said that if one testifies that he consented to an act of sodomy with another, then the person is a Rasha according to his own testimony in the Torah states, Atashes yadchim Rasha liyos ed chamas. Do not put your hand with a Rasha to be a thieving witness. This would disqualify his testimony against the sodomizer as well. Therefore, in the case of our mission, the man should not be believed as a witness, and the woman should not be permitted to marry someone else. The more answers of the Mishnah can be explained in accordance with Rabbah, who rules Adam Karov Eitzel Atzmo Vein Adam Mesim Atzmo Rasha. A person is considered related to himself, and therefore a person cannot disqualify himself from testifying by establishing himself as a Rasha. In effect, Palgin Dibura, we split his testimony so the part regarding himself is not considered, but his testimony regarding the other is believed. The Gemara goes on to explain how Rav Yosef would explain his ruling, even according to the Rabbanan. And pointing with you, the next Mishnah states, Hachachim she'asra ze'ish b'nedar al-bala, har zewel yisa'ena. Hachachim, who forbids a woman to her husband by not releasing her from a neder she made not to derive pleasure from him, and he divorced her, may not marry the woman. The Gemara says that this implies that if he did release her from the neder, he would be permitted to marry her and seeks to understand the case. It cannot be that a single rabbi annulled the vow because Heter Nedarim is with a basin of three judges. And if it was with a basin of three judges, then it's obvious he's not suspect, as the Mishnah teaches that if a woman did Mun or Chalitza before a Chacham, he may marry her, Mifnei Shu Basin, because he was part of a basin. The Gemara answers that the case was with a single judge who is a Yachid Mumcha, an expert judge. In such a case, he may release her from the vow, and if he does not, then he is prohibited to marry her. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the Mishnah Daf Chav Dalad Amabe stated, Hanitan le'eshes ish, v'hotzi'u amitachas yadu. If one was subject to rumors that he had relations with a married woman and basin required the husband to divorce her, afa pishakanas yotzi, even if the suspected adulterer married her, he must divorce her. The Gemara brought a machlokas where Rav held that the adulterer only divorces her when there were witnesses to the adultery, and Rebbe held he must divorce her even based on a mere rumor without witnesses. On this daf, the Gemara says the halacha is like each of them and explains that this is not a contradiction, for the distinction is whether there was a call of the pasik, a rumor that was stopped by a counter rumor that denied the first one. In a case where the rumor did not stop and there were no aiding, the halacha is like Rebbe, and he must divorce her. If the case is where the rumor was stopped and there are witnesses, he must divorce her. Abaye said that his adoptive mother taught him that a kol dol pasik, a rumor that was not stopped, is a rumor that endures for a day and a half. The Gemara says that this is provided that no counter rumor arose in the meantime, even if the counter rumor died down before the 1.5 day period. The Gemara will bring additional qualifications for the ruling. Pointing to the next Mishnah states that if one testifies regarding a man, Meis haragativ haragnu lo yisa es ishto, that he died or I killed him or we killed him, he may not marry the dead man's wife. The Gemara says that this implies that while he may not marry the wife, others may marry her. This contradicts Rav Yosef, who said that if one testifies that he consented to an act of sodomy with another, then the person is a Rasha according to his own testimony in the Torah states, Atashes yadchim Rasha liyos ed chamas. Do not put your hand with a Rasha to be a thieving witness. This would disqualify his testimony against the sodomizer as well. Therefore, in the case of our mission, the man should not be believed as a witness, and the woman should not be permitted to marry someone else. The Gemara answers the Mishnah can be explained in accordance with Rabba, who rules, Adam Karov Eitzel Atzmo Vein Adam Mesim Atzmo Rasha. A person is considered related to himself, and therefore a person cannot disqualify himself from testifying by establishing himself as a Rasha. In effect, Palgin Dibur, we split his testimony so the part regarding himself is not considered, but his testimony regarding the other is believed. The Gemara goes on to explain how Rav Yosef would explain his ruling, even according to the Rabbanan. And pointing between the next Mishnah states, HaChachem she'asu ha'zeh ish b'neder al-bala, ha'zeh yisa'ena. HaChachem, who forbids a woman to her husband by not releasing her from a neder she made not to derive pleasure from him, and he divorced her, may not marry the woman. The Gemara says that this implies that if he did release her from the neder, he would be permitted to marry her, and seeks to understand the case. It cannot be that a single rabbi annulled the vow because Heter Nedarim is with a Beis Din of three judges. And if it was with a Beis Din of three judges, then it's obvious he's not suspect, as the Mishnah teaches that if a woman did Miun or Chalitza before a Chacham, he may marry her, Mifnei Shu Beis Din, because he was part of a Beis Din. The Gemara answers that the case was with a single judge who is a Yachid Mumcha, an expert judge. In such a case, he may release her from the vow, and if he does not, then he is prohibited to marry her. All right, so now we go to our Simver Dav Chaf Hei, and our standard Simmin is a silver wedding anniversary, 25 years, a silver wedding anniversary. So here goes. The couple celebrating 25 years of marriage, after rumors were countered before a day and a half had elapsed, lost their appetite when the waiter testified to them that he killed a husband, who was a mumcha judge who had married a woman he released from a vow. Once again, it's a motion. The couple celebrating 25 years of marriage. 25 years of marriage, a silver wedding anniversary? That must be more enough. Chaf hey. The couple celebrating 25 years of marriage after rumors were counted before a day and a half had elapsed, which reminds the Mishnah Daf Chav Dalet Amud Beis state that if one was subject to rumors that he had relations with a married woman and Beis Din required the husband to divorce her, if the suspected adulterer married her, he must divorce her. The Gemara brought a Malchokas, where Rav held that the adulterer only divorces her when there were witnesses to the adultery, and Rebbe held he must divorce her even based on a mere rumor without witnesses. On this stuff, the Gemara says the halacha is like each of them and explains that this is not a contradiction, but the distinction is whether there was a call it a pasik, a rumor that was stopped by a counter-rumor that denied the first one. Abai says that his adopted mother taught him that a call it the little pasik, a rumor that was not stopped, is a rumor that endures for a day and a half. So, the couple celebrating 25 years of marriage after rumors were countered before a day and a half had elapsed, lost their appetite when the waiter testified to them that he killed a husband. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if one testifies regarding a man that he died or I killed him or we killed him, he may not marry the dead man's wife, which implies that while he may not marry the wife, others may marry her. The Gemara says the Mishnah can be explained in accordance with Rabba, who rules, Adam Karov Eitzel Atzmo Vein Adam Mesim Atzmo Rasha. A person is considered related to himself, and therefore a person cannot disqualify himself from testifying by establishing himself as a Rasha. In effect, Pagin Dibura, we split his testimony, so the part regarding himself is not considered, but his testimony regarding the other is believed. So the couple celebrating 25 years of marriage after rumors were countered before a day and a half had elapsed, lost their appetite when the waiter testified to them that he killed a husband, who was a mumcha judge who had married a woman he released from a vow. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, HaChachem she'asu ha'zeh ish b'neder al-bala, harzeh lo yisa'ena. A Chachem who forbids a woman to her husband by not releasing her from a neder she made not to derive pleasure from him, and he divorced her, may not marry the woman, even though a Beis Din of three is required to release the woman from her vow, and in such a case the judge would not be suspect since he's acting as part of a Beis Din. The Gemara explains that the case was with a single judge who was a Yachid Mumcha, an expert judge. In such a case, he may release her from the vow, and if he does not, then he is prohibited to marry her. So once again, the couple celebrating 25 years of marriage after rumors were countered before a day and a half had elapsed, lost their appetite when the waiter testified to them that he killed a husband, who was a mumcha judge who had married a woman he released from a vow. All right, now it's time for four blabat chazara. Daf Chafov. So the sim Daf Chafov is a car pronounced ka by people from Boston. So here goes. When the chalitza ka, that must be more Daf Chafov, ka. When the chalitza ka, delivering the shoe, was turned back from Beis Din, since chalitza b'makom yibum, rav mitzvah he, which reminds us, Reish Lakish said, kol makom shatamotzi asi b'losasi, wherever you find an ase and a losasi in conflict with one another, imata yachol kaim shneim mutav, if you can fulfill both of them, that's preferable, v'im lav, yabu ase b'yitches losasi, but if not, let the ase be doche the losasi. The Gemara clarifies after a challenge is brought, where a kohen gadol did yibum to an almana from erison and exempted her tzara, that this principle only applies hek the mekayim mitzvah, where mitzvah's ase is fulfilled through the alternative way. But here, if he does chalitz, the mitzvah's asay will not be fulfilled, since chalitz b'makom yibum lav mitzvah hi. Chalitz is not a mitzvah in the place of yibum. The Mefarshim explained that the Torah provided the lesser mitzvah of chalitz in cases when the yavam does not want to marry the yavama. So when the chalitz kah, delivering the shoe, was turned back from Beis Din, since chalitz b'makom yibum lav mitzvah hi, the driver almost ran over a basket with handles full of ramazim for shnios, which reminds the Gemara brings four sources for shnios, one based on a pasuk in Koheles, referring to handles of a basket, where we learn that before Shlomo Melech came, the Torah was like a basket without handles, ad Shabbat Shlomo va'asal aznaim, until Shlomo came and made handles for it. Rashi explains that just as handles prevent a basket from falling from one's hands, so two shnios distance one from the arayos. So when the chalitz kah delivering the shoe was turned back from Beis Din, since chalitz b'makom yibum lav mitzvah hi, the driver almost ran over a basket with handles full of ramazim for shnios that had been dropped by his aunt Gittel, the wife of his mother's maternal brother, which reminds us, the Gemara clarifies how we know that a wife of a mother's maternal brother is also considered a shnia. Dav chav beis. So the simon dav chav beis is a cab. So here goes. The ger and his shnia wife finally flagged down a cab. Cab, that must mean we're on dav Chabez. The ger and his shnia wife finally flagged down a cab, which reminds us the Rabbanim were not gozer shnios for a ger. And the only reason the Rabbanim prohibited an erva is that people should not say, "Baim the Kedusha Chamura or Kedusha Kala." The gerim come from a strict love of Kedusha, being that non-Jews are prohibited to their non-Jewish mother, and now they come to a lesser love of Kedusha, as they are now permitted to marry their non-Jewish mother. So the ger and his shnia wife finally flagged down a cab, driven by a mumzer brother, which reminds us a mumzer brother is zokek his brother's wife to Yibum, and a mumzer son exempts his father's wife from Yibum. The source that a mumzer qualifies as a son is learned from the pasuk Uven Einlo, and he has no son. Since the word Ein is written with a yud, it implies Ein alav, examine him, which Rashi explains to mean that one should see if he has any type of son, even a mumzer. So the ger and his shnia wife finally flagged down a cab, driven by a mumzer brother who just let out a bala hochoso passenger whom he charged twice, which reminds us, it's a malchus bin Rabbi Yossi bin Yehuda and the Chochamim whether a bala hochoso, one who has relations with his sister, who's the daughter of his father's wife, whether he's chayv once or twice, given two psukim that discuss relations with his sister. Dav chav gimel, so the simon dav chav gimel is kugelach. So here goes. It was an awkward scene at the Kiruv Kugelach competition. Kugelach, that must mean we're on Daf Chav Gimel. It was an awkward scene at the Kiruv Kugelach competition when a man's two daughters, one from a Shivcha and the other from a Nachris, which reminds us, the Gemara asks what Rabbi Yossi does with the Pasuk, Isha B'Yeladeh T'Yel Adonah, and answers that one Pasuk excludes the daughter of a Shivcha and the other excludes the daughter of a Gentile, and both are needed. If the Torah only taught the case of a Shivcha, one would think her daughter is excluded, Mishum Dein L'Achayis, because she has no Yichus in family relationships, whereas a Gentile woman does have Yichus in her relationships, and if the Torah had only taught the case of a Gentile woman, one would think her daughter is excluded because she is not shaykh to mitzvahs, but the daughter of a shivcha would be included because she's shaykh to mitzvahs. So it was an awkward scene at the Kiruv Kugelach competition when a man's two daughters, one from a shivcha and the other from a nachris, came to watch his Jewish grandson, whose father wasn't Jewish, which reminds us the pasuk states regarding the prohibition of intermarriage, ki yasir es bincha macharai, for he, referring to a Gentile father married to a Jewish woman, will turn your son away from me and they will serve other gods. From here we learn that a son from a Jewish woman is called bincha, your son, but a son from a Gentile woman is not called your son, but rather he's considered her son. The child follows the non-Jewish status of his mother. So it was an awkward scene at the Kiruv Kugelach competition when a man's two daughters, one from a shivcha and the other from a nachris, came to watch his Jewish grandson, whose father wasn't Jewish, play against two surviving brothers of a man who hadn't remembered which one of two sisters he married, which reminds us, if one was Mekadosh one of two sisters, but does not know which one of them he was Mekadosh, and then he dies childless and has two brothers, Echad Choetz ve'Echad Miyabim, one must do Chalitza to one of the sisters, and afterwards the other brother may take the other sister in Yibum. The Gemara clarifies the Mishnah coming to teach that the order must be that the first brother does Chalitza, and then the second one can do Yibum. And it cannot be that the first brother does Yibum to Kapaga ba'achu Zekukaso, for then he would be possibly violating the prohibition of marrying the sister of a Zekuka. Dav Chav Dalet, so the Simmer Dav Chav Dalet is a pitcher, a cud. So here goes. The Yaakov Moshe Achiv Yavam, who inherited his deceased brother's entire antique pitcher collection, pitchers, that must be wearing Dav Chav Dalet. The Yaakov Moshe Achiv Yavam, who inherited his deceased brother's entire antique picture collection. Which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa, the pasuk states, "V'hayah b'chor, and it shall be the firstborn." B'chan she mitzvah gadol yibum. From here we learn that it's a mitzvah for the eldest to do yibum. Yakum al shem achiv, he shall be established on the name of his brother, l'nachla, which refers to inheritance, which teaches that the one who does yibum inherits the entire estate of his brother. So the Yakum Hashem Achiv Yavam, who inherited his deceased brother's entire antique picture collection, was dismayed when he was told that he would not receive a double portion of his grandfather's collection destined for his father, which reminds us, the Gemara asks regarding what halacha did the Torah mention Bechor when it could have said that the eldest brother should preferably do Yibum. It answers that the term Bechor was written like Gerusa to diminish the Yavam's rights. Just as a Bechor does not take a double portion in his father's inheritance, which is still yet to come to the father, like the assets that are currently in the possession of a living grandfather, so to the Yavam who stands in the place of the deceased brother and takes a double portion in his father's estate, he does not take an extra portion in the father's assets, which are still yet to come, like the ones were already in the father's possession. So, the Yakum Hashem Achiv Yavam, who inherited his deceased brother's entire antique picture collection, was dismayed when he was told that he would not receive a double portion of his grandfather's collection destined for his father, and grew worried that his wife, who converted because of his anticipated wealth, would leave him. Which reminds us, the Gemara discusses whether gerim that converted for an ulterior motive are considered legitimate gerim. All right, that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichron. Wishing you a great day and great learning.